حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، خالق السماوات والأرضين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله وحبيبه وصفيه أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، الذي سمي بالقرآن بطه ويوسين والمزمل والمدثر، أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الدائم الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر الأحد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين، صلوات محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Indeed, yet this is again an opportunity for us to avail these Muharram nights to enlighten ourselves about the true teachings of Islam, the teaching which were been delivered by the Prophet and his infallible household, and the sacrifices which they rendered for Islam to pave the way and path to achieve the and seek the pleasure of Allah. Of course, the tragedy of Karbala and the sacrifices which were being given by Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and his companions, his friends, his dear ones, have no comparison with any of the sacrifices of the world, not in the past, not before him, and not after that. And it will never come like that. But before we enter into the objectives and the reasons behind his uprising, and then explain that what we should be doing and what we are supposed to do in our times, tonight we will discuss a little bit about the importance of gatherings and for ihya of aza, ihya of majalis. What is the ihya when they have been asked that from our imams, that from the companions, that whether they commemorate the aza of Imam Hussain alayhi salam or not? Do they discuss the tragedy of Karbala and the events which through which Imam Hussain and his companions went through? Do they discuss? The companions of Imam says, yes Imam, we do commemorate these sort of majalis. Imam alayhi salam, Imam, our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, explains that to his companions that it's very important that wherever, whenever you sit, you should ihya our teachings. Ihya, to bring something to life. Something which is not living, or which has been put under the carpets, which has been buried, bring it into the life. The word ihya usually been used in two type of things. One, when a person or something is totally dead, ihya, bring it. And now this work cannot be done by anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give hayat, to give life to the people and make them die and then again bring them into the life. Now this is the exclusive work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which no other person can do except with his permission. Like Hazrat Musa alayhi salam did, and these examples we have. But when we discuss among ourselves the word ihya, that is to bring something into life, something which has been buried, something which has been ignored, something which has lost his original values, something which has its own appearance, but the spirit, the soul of that thing is not in that. Imam says to his companion, O Fuzail, Fuzail ibn Yusar, Atajlisuna wa tatahaddathun? Qala na'am ya Mawlai. Fuzail, do you sit together among yourselves and discuss about us? تحدثون? Do you discuss things about us? He said, yes, Mawla. We do. We do. فَحْيُ أَمْرَنَا. That bring our orders, our commandments, our teachings into hayat, into life. It's not just as a tradition that we should be commemorating this aza and remembering the sacrifices which were been rendered by Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his family and his companions. Not only that, but besides that, rather, more than that, we should be concerned about the bringing into the life the true teachings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the true teachings of Quran, the true teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the true teachings of Islam, which comes to us through Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The version of Islam, there are several versions of Islam. There are several versions of Islam. But what version we should be looking for? What version which has been ignored and we should bring into life is the version of Islam which come to us through Quran, that is the Kitabullah and the teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household al-Ma'sumin Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Now what can be done for that ihya? As this is the first night that I'm having interaction with you people, I always said one of the responsibilities which we people who have that opportunity to come and have a gathering and majalis among ourselves and remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam, we, those who are sitting over here, be those people who usually come over here, maybe they are not over here, but they usually they do come over here in centers, in imambaras, one of our responsibility is to outreach people who usually do not come over here. This is the common question I ask different centers when I go around US and other places. That the people which are right now in the center, are they the only people in this city? And usually the answer is no. Maulana, this is maybe 40%, 50% or 60%. So it's different percentages the people says. So where are those 30% people, 40% people? Where are they? So they do come maybe on the 9th of Muharram, of 10th of Muharram or Ashura, and that's it. So what we are supposed to do as the one who claim ourselves, we don't know actually, but we claim ourselves to be the true follower of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Because of course, we recite Quran, we try to practice according to Quran, we remember our Imams, we narrate their teachings, we try to understand them, we try to follow them. So we claim ourselves to be the true Muslims, to true followers. So one of our responsibility is to outreach. Now that outreach has levels. One of the outreach is to among ourselves, the believers of the 12th Imam, the Quran and Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhi salam. This is the inner circle in which we should have the outreach. We should go to them, we try to convince them and bring them. And second is the other Muslim people. Go to them, ask them, encourage them to come and attend the programs and majalis in which we remember the sacrifices of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and discuss the Quranic perspectives and teachings. And the third level are the level of non-Muslims. Non-Muslims. Now the third level has two parts in it itself. The one who are not that reluctant to listen to the other people's opinion. And the another group in those non-Muslims are the people who are against and biased. They have their own views and ideas. Just few days back, you must have also remembered that Ghadir, and you have, must have remembered, you had must have some program over here about the Ghadir. And what is the ayat to the Holy Prophet? Balligh ma unzila ilayk. Balligh to whom? Balligh to whom? Convey the message. O Prophet, convey the message. To whom? Question. To whom? That is this limited? Does this message to be conveyed to the people who came to perform a Hajj? Or it was for the entire Muslim? Or it could be for the entire humanity? It could be limited for his time, or it could be, has no limit, and it should be balligh ma unzila ilayk till the day of judgment. So people should be aware of the true Islam and the true religion and teachings, and then it's up to them to accept it or not. Because Allah has given free will to everyone. But those who think that they are the true followers, it is their responsibility to convey the messages to the people who they haven't reached it. The message has not reached to them. They are maybe not that concerned about it. So we should convey it, these messages. Last time when I came over here, I did this practice in your city and went to a couple of people, rather more than that, to one of the brothers, Professor Iranian. I can't see him over here, I don't know where he is. So, and he took me to the places, we meet someone, we invited. Well, we met maybe three people, and one of them, they came in this majlis. Although it was maybe on 7th or 8th, or later on, it wasn't the first ashra, but it was in my last few majalis. I was here for 9 days, I remember. So last 3-4 majalis he came. It's not the what should be the result. It is our responsibility to fulfill and outreach and convey the message to them. Because Imam Hussein, the personality of Imam Hussein, is something which not even Muslims respect him and his sacrifices, but also non-Muslims also regard him very highly and take their lessons from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One of the very famous sayings of the Hindu leader Gandhi, must have read several places. I have learned from Imam Hussein alayhi salam that while you are oppressed, how you should fight the oppressors. One of the sayings, he has many other things, and there are other people. So when non-Muslims regard Imam Hussein alayhi salam so high, and we read from the Islamic scholars, like Imam Khomeini said, whatever we have in the name of Islam, it is with the barakah of the month of Muharram and Safar. That whatever little we have from Islam, it is from the month of Muharram and Safar, that is from, this is Majalis al-Aza. From these Majalis in which we learn about the true Islam, the teachings, the attitude which we develop, through which we should able to build a character in this world. And the same thing we should be learning from Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his companions. Now the hadith which I mentioned, the saying from Imam, the sixth Imam, that whenever, wherever you sit, fahyu amrana. وَإِنَّ مَنْ جَلَسَ مَجْلَسًا. And so whoever sits in this majlis and this meeting, his mistakes will be forgiven and he will be protected till he reach his place, his home. That Allah appoints angels to seek forgiveness for those people who remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam. For those people who bring and give life to the commandments of Ahlul Bayt, to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Bring them to life. How that those teachings can come into our lives. How those things will be, becomes, start living. And how they are dead. They are just commands. Like if Imam has said something. Now his saying is, maybe not, you cannot say that it's living or it's dead. It's living. It can be living. If it's living in our habits and our attitudes. If we are practicing according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and the teachings of Quran, that means those teachings are alive. Those teachings are a living substance. And if we ignore them, and if we forget them, if we don't practice according to the Quranic teachings and teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that means those teachings are dead. They have been buried. And we see these teachings being buried. And we bury these teachings ourselves. We know lots of good things, which we ignore them. We know that we should recite Quran every day. But we don't. We know that we should offer our prayers on its first time, but we don't. We know that we should not be lying, but we do lie. We know that we should not be backbiting, but we do backbite. So we bury those things, those teachings with our own hands actually. Those hands, with our own hands. It's not that other people are coming, invading us, and they are destroying our values. They are doing on their work, but what we are doing on ourselves, on our sides, what we are doing, what we were supposed to do, and what we are actually practicing. Kali recite Salawat Muhammad wa So number one, we should try to understand the true meaning of Ihya. Ihya. To bring thing into life, we should know that thing. That thing. What are those teachings which should be given life? What are those teachings? Where are those teachings? So the first thing to identify those true teachings. And after we identify those true teachings, then the question comes that how that teachings will have life Of course, one of those things is that we practice ourselves. And second part of it, that we invite others to practice according to that. When it's been said in Quran, and we have been asked to iqama salah. Iqama salat is different than qiyam salat. Qiyam salat, that is that we should stand ourselves to offer prayers. Ourselves. It's our own individual act. We have been asked to offer prayers. At the other time, we have been asked not only offer your prayers, but invite others. Invite others. Iqama salat. And one of the misadiqs and one of the examples which we can say, this ulama has said, is the salatul jama'at. That is to have your prayers in a congregational manner. There is also the iqama. Iqamatu salat. Okay, you have congregational prayers. Okay, but in that, there are maybe 5 people, 10 people. Where are others? Again, the outreach. So one of the very important act, maybe some of us take it as an individual act, that is to outreach to others and invite others, aware them of the true teachings of Islam. And maybe sometime those things can be done collectively. Now what I'm saying is different than Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. That is the next step. The first step is Ta'limul Jahil. That is to make aware an ignorant person. Maybe an ignorant of that value of Islam, that teaching of Islam. You will come and talk to me. Encourage me. Aware me that what is the true importance of that thing in Islam. Or in a human's and a man's life. A person's life. One of the important factors is that. It cannot be done automatically. Allah has put obligations on men that besides practicing individually, you should spread yourself collectively in the society where you live. Few years back, 7-8 years back, I think so, I was being invited in Mombasa, Kenya. For tabligh, for having lectures over there. The place I was living, they gave me the accommodation. There was a person who was a learned person, used to speak on the members and used to give lectures. An elderly person of the age of late 70s or maybe early 80s. He narrated one of the events, he said, when we came into, because Mombasa is one of the oldest places where Shias came over there and established themselves. Usually those people were belong to Hoja community, the Gujarati speaking community of Shias. They settled down over there. They established mosque, Imam Barga centers, madrasa, these type of things. And after a few years, a group of those people went to Iraq for ziyarat. They met Ayatullah Sayyid Mohsen Hakim Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayh. And you know that when you go to the marja, to someone to the higher in ranking and ill, you just narrate what you are like doing. We have done this, we have done that, you know, we have built this mosque and we have this sports center, blah, blah, blah. You just start recounting your services you have rendered for your community. Well, when they narrated everything, Sayyid Mohsen Hakim said, "You have done wonders, you have done very, very good things for your community." After praising their services, he said, "May I ask you one question?" He said, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, why not? What you have done for the local communities over there, the Africans, the colored people, what you have done for them?" He said, "We have done nothing for them." "So have you conveyed the message of Ahlul Bayt to them?" He said, "No, we haven't. We haven't." So he said, "What you have done for yourself, for your community is very good. But one of the responsibilities is that when you go to some place, you should convey the message of Islam, of Quran, of Ahlul Bayt to the native of those lands." Native of those lands. It is not just an optional thing for us. It is an obligation. How we take offering of praise as an obligation, whether we are tired, whatsoever, we are busy or whatever, we may skip our meal, day's meal, maybe we skip, but we don't skip our prayers. Why? What a big deal. We said, no, it's an obligation from Allah and we should thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. The same Allah who has made salat, prayers, offering of praise an obligation, fasting as an obligation. The same Allah has obligated us that we should convey the teachings of Islam to different people around us in our society. Not only our children should be aware and taught with the true teachings, but also the neighbors, the people around us in our society. So we should not be very much satisfied if we are come together every Thursday night to have Salatul Jama'ah, Dua-i Kumail, message of Quran, maybe on Jummah for the Jummah prayers, maybe some other on the birthdays of Imams or the Shahada of Imam, we come together, have Majalis and Milad and all those things. Everything is good and correct, it should be there. But it's not something which make us satisfied that we have fulfilled our responsibilities. Our responsibilities are beyond all these things. Beyond all these things. You know, we have double standards in our life. If I ask someone, a bachelor guy, how much you need to live, have your living, to have comparatively nice apartment and, you know, nice car or something. Maybe he says, okay, if I make something $3,000, $4,000 a month, it will be something good. He will get married, say, okay, another $1,000 we need. It depends on the wife as well, how much she spends. So, $1,000, maybe $5,000. Okay, $5,000 is okay for you, then why you strive day and night to make something more? Each and every one, we do the same thing. Whether a person the learned and qualified, or he is just a labor class person. Everyone strive for something more. If he gets the opportunity, he will get the more. Even if he is a billionaire, he will say, why not a next million, next billion for me? So there is no limit. But when we come to our religious obligations, we say, okay, we have done enough. We have recited a few verses of Quran. Okay, we offer our prayers. Oh, we do our enough. That's it. We don't want to do more. We don't want to be fanatic. We don't want to be extremist. Oh, we are extremist in our earning of money and striving worldly things. We would like to be extremist in that and fanatic in that area, the materialistic world. But when it comes to the spirituality, about the spiritual grooming of ourselves, we say, no, this is enough. This is enough. You know why we have these double standards? Because we couldn't able to understand ourselves, that who we are. And that's why when we come across to the saying of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who says, "Man arafa nafsah arafa rabbah." The one who recognizes his nafs, himself, will be able to recognize his Lord, his Creator, his Sustainer. Because we were not able to understand ourselves, our true needs. So we don't go after our needs. Rather, we see other people, what they are doing, and we do the same thing. We don't even look for our own needs. Besides materialistic needs, we have spiritual needs, we have intellectual needs, we have sentimental needs, we have emotional needs. But we couldn't able to identify those needs, so we don't go after those needs. So that's why a religion become ritualistic, and the materialistic gaze becomes something actual and true for us, because we can feel those needs. We feel those needs. So we go after it, and because I can't feel my spiritual needs, and I don't know the importance of my spiritual needs, so I don't go after that. And I said, that's enough. So that's why it becomes ritualistic for me. Although Islam should be the part of our lives, it should not be called as a rituals or the tradition. Why? This majalis is called a traditional majalis, unfortunately. All over the world, it is a tradition that we commemorate in the month of Muharram and Safar. And it should not be limited to Muharram and Safar, while our imams, the fifth imam and sixth imam, has said that fahyu amrana, that ihya'i amr, that these teachings of Islam should bring into life, not only in the month of Muharram and Safar or in the month of Ramadan, but it should be all 365 days. If we were been practicing all 365 days, these were not being something traditional and ritualistic. It was just a part of it. Something which have more importance, yes, but it's not exclusive. Now when we see this Muharram and Safar, we see this Muharram Safar apart from other 10 months. So there's a need to understand that what actually we should be looking after in the month of Ramadan, in the month of Muharram, in the month of Safar, and how it can encourage us and give us that potential and that fill our ego, or fill our intellectual, spiritual, spiritually fill us and groom us, that it which can help us 365 days. When we go on the journey, we try to fill everything in our backpacks, put it over there, nothing to be forgotten. Everything, rope, what we say, extra batteries for our torches, and blah, 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 everything. So we have to take Muharram, not traditionally, but as a part of our religious learning, to groom ourselves intellectually, spiritually, and of course, the one of the part is the socially. Now this, the second of Muharram, the second of Muharram is something which has been remembered in the history of Islam. It was the day when the caravan of Imam Hussein was coming from Medina towards the unknown valley, to unknown place, the unknown desert. In the beginning, it was going towards Kufa, but when the Hur met them in between the ways, and he diverted some other place. So when that caravan was going on, in between, Imam Hussein alayhi salam went into sleep. He saw a dream. He just woke up and started crying. His eldest son Ali Akbar was beside him. He said, "What happened, Baba? What happened, Father?" He said, "I just saw your grandfather, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in my dreams." And he said that now the time is coming that you should offer your life, and on not only your life will be taken, but the life of your children and your friends and companions will also be taken. Hazrat Ali Akbar said and asked, "Baba, are we on the righteous path? Are we on haq?" He said, "Indeed, we are on haq." Hazrat Ali Akbar said, "Then Baba, then there is no fear for us. Whether we go towards our death, towards our end of our life, or that death will come towards us, it doesn't matter for us." And then they reach to a deserted place. He asked, "What is that place is? What is this place is called?" Someone came to him and said, "This is called Nainawa." He asked another person that, "What is this place is called?" Says, "This place is called Ghazariya." He said, "Ask your elders to come and tell me what is the name of this place. Does it have any other name? An old man came to him and said, "Yes, this place is called Karbala." Imam Hussein says, "A'udhu bika min karbin wa bala. I seek refuge from karb and bala, the challenges and the difficulties which we are going to face." He said, "Now this is the land where we are going to die. This is the place where our bodies going to fall down. This is the place where our heads will be chopped off from our bodies. This is the place where our bodies will be mutilated. This is the place we have been promised for. This is the place of Karbala. His sister Hazrat Zainab came to him and started weeping and said, "Oh brother, is this the place which has been promised to us?" He says, "Yes, this is the place, Zainab. But don't be afraid. Inshallah, Allah will be with you and with us all." Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinai. Alayka minni salamu allahi abada ma baqitu wa baqiya al-laylu wal-nahar. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين السلام عليكم جميع شهداء كربلاء ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام
اللهم صل على محمد